In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. With a strong forearm, the apron-clad blacksmith puts his tongs into the fire, grasps the heated metal, and places it on the anvil. His keen eye examines the glowing piece. He sees what the tool is now and envisions what he wants it to be: sharper, flatter, wider, longer. With a clear picture in his mind, he begins to pound. His left hand still clutching the hot mass with the tongs, his right hand slams the 2-pound sledge upon the molded metal. On the solid anvil, the smoldering iron is remolded. The smith knows the type of instrument he wants. He knows the size, he knows the shape, he knows the strength. Whang, whang, the hammer slams. The shop rings with noise, the air fills with smoke, and the softened metal responds. But the response doesn't come easily. It doesn't come without discomfort. To melt down the old and recast it as new is a disrupting process. Yet the metal remains on the anvil, allowing the toolmaker to remove the scars, repair the cracks, refill the voids, and purge the impurities. And with time, a change occurs. What was dull becomes sharpened, what was crooked becomes straight, what was weak becomes strong, and what was useless becomes valuable. This is an excerpt from a daily devotional written by Max Lucado called On the Anvil. It came to mind as I was reading the Malachi text about the fire of the refiner. I have this particular book because I gave it as a gift many years ago to a friend of mine who was in the hospital with a difficult pregnancy. She was about to have her first child. She was still a couple of months away from term, and she had to be bedridden for the remainder of her pregnancy. And so I went to the bookstore, when we went to bookstores, and some of you still go to bookstores, and they appreciate it. And I looked for something, a devotional book, that I could send her so that she would have something each day. And the inside joke about this particular title, On the Anvil, was that she and I had played a particularly awful Scrabble game one day where anvil was the first word used, and it ruined the board for the rest of us. And so it jumped right out at me when I saw it among the daily devotionals available, and then when I thumbed through the pages, it seemed to just fit. Here she was in a time of reshaping who and how she would be in the world as a new mother. Her own personal time on the anvil, her own personal time of Advent, a time of preparation. And so when I thought about these words from the prophets that we hear throughout this season, it's fairly easy to think of the prophets as being sort of the biblical blacksmiths of their time. They are calling a people to be reshaped, sometimes restored back to the sharpness that they once were, and sometimes reshaped into something new for a new purpose. And so in today's reading of the words of the prophet Malachi. There's a foretelling of God's messenger. It says, "The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." When silver is refined, it must undergo intense heat in order to clear it of the impurities and make it usable. And perhaps less familiar to us is this image of fuller's soap. The job of the fuller was to remove the oil and dirt from the wool and to thicken the wool so that it becomes usable for its purpose. And so both the fire and the fuller's soap are ways of clearing out the impurities. And Malachi's prophecy anticipates Jesus as this one, this next blacksmith coming to help do that work of reforming and reshaping. Malachi went on to say, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." When Jesus came, he didn't come to leave everything just as he found it. Quite the opposite. Jesus came to challenge the status quo. He came to point out how this tradition in whom the Israelites delighted had become more important than the hoped-for relationship between the people and God, and the hoped-for relationship between people and other people. The tradition had become more important than the love that God was inviting the world to. And so Jesus was putting the tradition on the anvil. And with every challenging confrontation, you can hear the whang, whang of the blacksmith reshaping and reforming how they were to live in the world. Luke's gospel invokes another prophet, Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth." Advent is time for us to be on the anvil. It's an intentional time for us to consider what God might be calling us to for a particular purpose in this time and place in our lives, a time to be reshaped so that we can respond to that call. Max Lucado's next devotional speaks of being on the anvil and reminds us that an instrument is useful only if it's in the right shape. A dull axe or bent screwdriver needs attention, and so do we. Anvil time reminds us of who we are and who God is. And we shouldn't try to escape it, tempting as it might be. So this Advent season, as we prepare to receive Christ anew, let us each consider for ourselves what mountains in our lives need to be brought back into perspective. What valleys that we journey through are ready to be filled in. What crooked things need to be straightened out a bit? And what rough places are ready to be made smooth? Doing these things makes us ready. The time of Advent is our time on the anvil. O come, Emmanuel, God with us on the anvil and always. Amen.